What I'd like to do is to look at somewhat the other end of the spectrum a little bit. Pastor Kaminsky looked at the results of a kind of life that is most noteworthy. And as we look at mothers or potential mothers, looking at the early end of this morning, you may want to turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. We'll get to that shortly. But there was a question that was brought up, a survey that was made apparently earlier this week. I suppose it was probably a college campus level survey, something of that nature. They were asking the fellows, if you were to say you're looking for a lady friend, maybe someone you would like to marry, what kind of person would you look for? What I'm going to suggest here is that they used a word that's not biblical, and so I'm going to transfer this to a different word, actually two or three possibly, before we get done here this morning, that has to do with what they would be looking for. The words that are commonly used today may not be biblical terms, but it carries the concept of it. The girl I would most want to find is one who is nice. Now, of all the characteristics that you could throw out, this is the one that rose to the top very decidedly. If we look into the scriptures, I'm going to spend most of my time today looking at the word kind or kindness. I think, how do we describe nice from God's point of view? And so kind or kindness is going to be the primary one. But in Philippians 4:8, we're going to pick up just a little bit here. It says there in that location, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And I would say that in this portion here, whatsoever things are lovely might be the concept that would relate to possibly more directly to the idea of kindness. And the idea of lovely here has to do with someone who's friendly towards another person, someone who acts in such a way that it's acceptable. We live in a world today that loveliness seems to almost disappear. This is kind of an overlying thought that's involved here. But then we can go to Ephesians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 4. And I'll be looking down towards the end of the chapter, verse 32. In the context, verse 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." That tends to be the way of the world. And so when we're talking about this fellow looking for someone who is nice, niceness kind of evaporates when we have the world's way, when we have the secular's opinion of things. I'm not saying that there isn't any secular person that isn't kind in any way, but when we come to the scriptures, there is a definite admonition in relationship to this. And in verse 32, and it says, "Be ye kind one to another." Now, obviously, this isn't just for the ladies. This is for the men too, isn't it? This is for everybody. This is for everyone who has the Spirit of God in them, and we're not to grieve the Spirit of God. Kindness should be a very important high-level operation within our life. And when we're talking about kindness here, we're talking about a characteristic whereby someone may show themselves possibly as useful to someone else or benevolent. That'd be kind of a dictionary definition. But if we were to go down into some other portions of Scripture where this same word is being used, we might look to Matthew chapter 11. You may want to keep your finger somewhat in where we were at. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. And it says there, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, that's a admonition that's given to a lot of people that need this admonition. They need someone to come to. And when we talk about especially the young people in the world, but I think a lot of older people are much in the same situation where they labor and are heavy laden. One of the things that the Lord will do is he will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now the idea of meekness is that when you learn of me, for I am meek, we find that our Savior is gentle and humble in relationship to our needs as we would come unto him, for we are heavy laden in labor. Lowly is the idea of one who, I guess the basic word here is depressed, but we have a twisted concept of depressed in our society because we've turned this into a medical term, which means that it's something that's negative. It's something that is, and it's not wrong in this meaning, but the emphasis is taken away from the scriptures today, the level of it. It means that the Lord is not high-handed and high, you know, just beat you down type of a situation. He is meek, he is lowly, and so in him you shall find rest under your souls. You don't find rest in your soul when you're around someone who is high-minded and selfish and driving to the point to where you don't have strength or would want to have strength in following after him. But we find that in him you might find rest under your souls, and this is... Rest is a situation where, well, one of the characteristics of it is an intermission. If you're in a big, heavy philharmonic a concert or something like this, you notice that they have an intermission. You get so much music and you get tired of it and you need a rest. And then they come back and finish off later in the evening. And this is the idea here, is that the Lord allows one to be refreshed from the tensions and the pressures of that which is there. And so you're able to rest so that your mind is to be given a refreshment of some kind. And also you're able to trust and have confidence in the veracity of the Lord, because he isn't a God who beats us to death. He's a God who provides us direction, but also gives us rest. But the next verse is interesting here in verse 30 of Matthew 11:30. It says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, the word easy here is the same word that is used in Ephesians 4:32, "Be ye kind." He says, my yoke is easy. It suggests a kindness of the Lord, which is given here. Now, with this idea, I think the word kindness perhaps is a little bit twisted in our culture as to what it means to some degree. If the Lord is kind to us, I suppose it's the idea that could come up whereby we think that he kind of gives in to us, perhaps. But when we're talking about the Lord as being kind, it's where he perhaps gives the nod of the head to us. Perhaps there's a deference that's extended in our way, whereby he understands we are his creatures who are made, and we have needs of things, and he provides to us these things. And we find that his loving care comes through this. He is not a God that is like the gods that the world would put up before themselves, but he is a God who is kind. He gives deference to the weaknesses and the needs that we might have. And so this is when he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, he has an understanding of where we're at and what we have need of. And so when we're talking about people being kind to others, the circumstance here is that they might be there willing to furnish what is needed in that time or circumstance in which they're at. One of the definitions that's involved here in the Greek has to do with the idea of when someone looks upon something, their eyes lightly touch upon. Well, kindness is where someone isn't heavy-handed, but they might lightly touch upon our needs, touch upon us as we would be in a situation whereby we have need of comfort or need of presence or whatever might be involved there. It has to do with the idea of that they might employ themselves to act towards someone else in a given manner. And so here we have a situation where if I am kind to you, then I would be interested in possibly knowing enough about you where I would perhaps be able to furnish somewhat of the needs that might be in relationship to your needs and be able to meet into that. If I was to gaze upon, even touch slightly that which is yours, it has to do with attention that is given, and it also has to do with my activities being employed to the needs that are yours. Now, in Ephesians 4:32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving." Tender-heartedness has to do with the area of having compassion for someone else, being sympathetic toward them. So not only is attention given to in that kindness is there where someone is going to acknowledge and reference the needs that are there, giving attention to, but there's going to be a compassion, there's going to be a sympathy that's extended towards someone. We could even go so far as in 1 Peter 3:8, where it talks about, "Finally, be ye of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful." And here's the tenderheartedness. Have pity towards the needs of someone else. Be pitiful, be courteous. And so this is the idea of tenderheartedness. Be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving. And in this area of forgiving, it has to do with there are people to whom we need to grant favor. I don't know about you, but I don't do everything right. I don't respond to people correctly on many occasions. They may say one thing and I'm thinking something else and respond in totally even a wrong, negative fashion. And forgiving is to grant favor. It is to extend another kind of kindness, pardon, even to rescue someone like me out of the situation that I might be getting myself into. And so forgiving is another aspect of this area of kindness. When we would look at the Old Testament a little bit, perhaps we could go to the book of Psalms 117, verse 2. Now, up to this point, I was emphasizing the particular word kind as it's found in the scriptures, but I found that the word kindness also is involved here. So in Psalm 117, verse 2, it says, "For his merciful kindness is toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." And his merciful kindness has to do with whereby someone is able, well, the Lord recognizes that which is within us. Perhaps he might even give us a little bit of reproof, but the way in which he does it isn't fatal. Robert was talking this morning about the day of the Lord and the judgment that is likely involved in that for too many. But here we find that there is a kindness involved in the way he deals with us, and even it shows up in a form of beauty. Here's the situation whereby the Lord sees us with our nature, our sin nature, sees us with our shortcomings, our disabilities that are involved here as far as being holy and being righteous. And yet he would bow his head in a sense towards us, in a courtesy of respecting who we are and what is what we're made of, and He will bring us about to care for us. That's a kindness. If God were to only look at us just according to His justice without the salvation that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, then none of us would live. We would all die in our sins and have no hope of being made new creatures or having everlasting life. But you see, He extends His head to us, that which He made, and works in our behalf to the appropriate degree. We go to Proverbs, which is the next book toward the Proverbs chapter, where are we at, 19:22. Verse 21, it says, there are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and the poor man is better than a liar. Here we find that the desire of a man is his kindness, and the desire is perhaps one of the words that we would look at here a little bit, because it has to do with what is a man's longing? What is his delight? What is that is his charm? And here we would talk about any one of us. What is that which is within us? Is it in relationship to kindness, where we would extend our head just a little bit in deference to, whereby we would perhaps meet the needs? We would have their comfort of an interest in our heart. And then we go to chapter 31 of Proverbs, verse 26. This is in the portion of the end of Proverbs where it talks about the special woman, virtuous woman. But here in verse 26, we find that she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And so here we see that if someone is looking for someone who's nice, in her tongue is the law of kindness. And the term law means that this is a strict format that's built into her life. This is a rule that's there. We're also thinking, when we think of the law of kindness, we think of that which is God-directed, the law of God. And so here is a situation where kindness is a very important thing. Let's go to Isaiah, which is just a little bit further on. Chapter 54, verse 8. Isaiah 54, in verse 8, it says, with a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Now, if we look into the context here, we find that Israel had turned from the Lord, had done many wicked things. Here we find that the Lord even went so far as to set aside his provision to them. They were receiving some hard days. But here in verse 8 it says, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. And so if the Lord would back away from us, in this case from Israel, it was for how long? In the sight of eternity, it was for a moment. For a moment. But with everlasting kindness. So where is the status of Israel in this case, the people of God? Where is the status of kindness? Though He may have withdrawn some from them, everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. And so here, we can find that even in our lives, if we were to grieve the Spirit of God, or we were to quench the Spirit of God, there may be some withdrawing. There may be some dealing with us in our lives because we have missed the point of our purpose as being born again, new creatures filled by the Spirit of God. But I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. And He does have everlasting kindness. And so this is the promise and the hope for those who would be children of God, that would be possible to hold there. We could go on down and read verse 9 and 10. For this is as the waters of Noah upon me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee or rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. So, folks, we have a God who is a God of kindness and extends it. And so this is an example for us, even as we would should learn of this and consider our own lives before the Lord. I would like to go to Colossians chapter 3 at this point. Colossians chapter 3, we come to verse 10. I want to read down on through verse 15, I believe, maybe 16. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "And have put on a new man." Now, this idea of being new creatures, new people in Christ Jesus is very, very important. The new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. So being a new creature, all of these distinctions are taken away. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, in this case, when we're talking there in verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, here is a situation whereby God has extended to us great love and care. He has extended to us his provisions, bowels of mercy, kind of. In the scriptures, emotions came from the lower part of the abdomen, and it had to do with great concern and care. And so here we find that this is one of the characteristics as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness. Here, kindness is where he not only has concern for us, he extends the bowing of the head toward us as his creatures. He has humbleness of mind in that he desires to, as we would be his children, we should have humbleness of mind where we don't want to be superior, but modesty is the characteristic that would be in. We want to rein in and curb our worldly character and nature. When it comes to meekness, there is gentleness, and this also implies humility. When we're talking about long-suffering, there is the word that the dictionary gives, longanimity. It has to do with forbearing, showing strength or fortitude in being concerned for. These are all characteristics. Now, I would suggest that this list right here would have to do with if I was looking for someone who was to be my friend or to be long life, if in this case I may be a fellow looking for a woman. A woman looking for a man would be wanting to find these characteristics within them: bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. In verse 13, it talks about forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If a man have any quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forbearing has to do with to hold oneself up against. That's the idea of putting up with. You know, I don't know about you, but usually when we look at the situation of people who are around us, the people who are around us are the people who irritate us because of this little habit or this little characteristic or whatever's there. And when we're talking about forbearing, we're talking about putting up with, and you may hold yourself in up against that which is there. You don't just lash out. Oh, you're crazy, you're stupid, whatever it might be that's out there. You're mean, you don't have to throw all of this out. Forbearing one another, forgiving. That's to grant favor. It's to pardon and show kindness, even to rescue from their circumstances. Sometimes when someone does something that irritates you and you just say, ah, I give up. You know, if we have the granting of favor to such a one, we might be more likely to get farther down the road. It has to be with this characteristic where if a man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Did he forbear in relationship to us? Did he forgive in relationship to us? We certainly didn't have characteristics in our life before we came to Christ that would cause him to want us or to desire after us in particular. And so when we are involved in a relationship with someone else, we need to be very careful. And above all these things, verse 14, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And here is the idea that we show affection toward or even benevolence toward, being kindly toward. The idea of affection is to bend one's mind toward a particular person or situation that's there, being compassionate towards these kinds of things. So when we have all of this, we overlook a lot of this. And the overlooking, the idea of charity, is we extend love and kindness towards someone else, even though we might have a quarrel against them. We don't necessarily pick up that quarrel and run with it. And verse 15, it says, let the peace of God... Now, here we're talking about the idea that when we have peace with God, He is willing to be joined with us. We're willing to be joined with Him. And there has to be some compatibility, some concessions whereby this would be possible. The peace of God, it's the willingness to be joined to someone else, as a man with a woman, or a friend with a friend, a neighbor with a neighbor, a brother with a brother, and there has to be cooperativeness and agreement that's involved there. And so then it talks about let the peace of God rule where? In your heart. Here we talk about the seat of our emotions to a large degree, to that which ye are also called in one body. And here we're talking about the body, which has to do with the church, the congregation. And be ye thankful. And this is the hardest part for most of us, is the idea of being thankful. And then we go to verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, do you notice the first word in the next verse? If it's speaking to wives in the next verse, all these previous verses probably make an emphasis upon whom? The men. And yet, it also relates to the church. And it also relates with everybody in, by the way, men and women are part of the church, right? And it also relates to everyone as they deal with other people. And so here we have all of this admonition which is given here in Colossians, really clear to the beginning of the chapter, whereby we are to extend kindness. We're to extend carefulness. We're to extend vows of mercy. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Now, long-suffering has to do with one person with another, and I don't care how we do it. That's really where it lays. And it has to do with charity and how we extend affection and what do we have affection for. So here we have all of this, and we're talking about Mother's Day, and we've laid an emphasis upon all of the work which the mothers have done with their children in Christian day school, within their homes, homeschooling. How can a mother put up with one or five or four or three children in a school situation unless she were to have all of these characteristics. And she would need all of these characteristics to be shown by her husband and by other family circumstances and situations. Here we find all of this, which is very, very important. This is the basic structure that we have here for being able to live together in a manner which brings glory to the Lord, but it also shows the world, which doesn't have hardly any of these characteristics normally operating in their lives, unless they're imitating something which is scriptural, even a portion of it. They're not going to have this by nature in their heart, because they are going to be self-interested rather than other-interested. All of these terms have to do with other-interested. Just as God would defer towards us, we defer towards others, not making ourselves as the primary focus of all living and life. And so this is a marvelous thing. This is why mothers are able to have great honor, and families are able to extend great honor one to another within it because of kindness. And so when we say that a fellow would say, well, the most important thing I would find in a girl or a woman that I would be looking for is that they're nice. Well, that niceness is given to us and described to us in the scriptures, and here's how we can work with it and learn how to apply it. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you that we can look here into the scriptures and these few passages and to see how you have extended great kindness towards us in the Psalms and Proverbs, and how that we are to practice even these kinds of things that it's given to us in Matthew and Ephesians and Colossians and so many other passages of Scripture. Father, may we be a people who honor you. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.